Welcome to Wake Up with Hope, Sharon Boland with you this Friday morning, February the 17th. And God has a word to speak directly into your life today, and I want everyone to give me their undivided attention because the Lord has a word for all of us. There's a quickening happening in the body of Christ right now. There's a move of God that is stirring, and we are going to come into the fulfillment of the promise that God has given us. Remember, this is the year of Jubilee. What happens in Jubilee? There's breakthrough. There's deliverance. There's freedom. There's healing. There's cancellation of debt. There are miracles, signs, and wonders on a scale that we have never experienced before. And I want everybody to get prepared for what God is doing. We're in the early stages of 2023, and the Spirit of the Lord is already moving. Right now, I believe everyone has heard of what is going on at Asbury College in Kentucky. And I was in bed last night, and the Spirit of God just began to speak to me about this movement of John and Charles Wesley. And this university or college is small. I believe there are only 1,500 people. You know, my daughter goes to DBU, and there are 4,500, and I thought that was small. This is smaller than that. And look at what God is doing. I've never even heard of this university before. Most people haven't. But look at the fingerprint of God. God always begins with the small. Who has despised the day of small beginnings? We're always following the big, and I've been saying this for years. We're always following the big name, the big this, the big move. And it's not that God can't move there, but when it comes to a true holy revival, it always begins small. Note that. Note the history of revival. It begins by prayer. It begins by worship. It begins small. And this is exactly what's happening. This university is a Wesleyan university. So again, it's connected to that movement. And you go back to the 1700s of John and Charles Wesley. These are men who had a revelation of holiness. And they planted seeds of holiness. And look at how many years have gone by, centuries, and look at what's happening today. The rumbling of revival. Because the seed that was planted is still producing. I want to share a few prophetic words that God gave me in 2013 and then one in 2017. And I want you to look at the timeline because remember, when God gives a word, it doesn't mean it's going to happen in one day. But that word is processed. That word goes through the testing, and then the word comes to pass. And 10 is a cyclical number. And there's a cycle, you know, 10 is a cycle, so we've just completed this cycle of 10. We're at now 2023, 10 years. And I'm going to read a few words that God gave me that I have prepared this morning to read. And I want to show you the connection and how God was telling us in that season what was coming. And I know many have gotten words from God about holiness and a move of the Lord. But I want to share this because these came specifically to me at 4 o'clock in prayer in the morning. For out of the wilderness will come forth the woman, the church, and she shall be brought forth out of oppression, out of opposition, out of discouragement. The holy remnant that have been hidden shall come forth out of the earth. The one that the serpent has waged war with will come forth out of the wilderness of persecution, out of the wilderness of abandonment, out of the wilderness of, note this, obscurity. For all the trials and the testing, she shall come forth as gold. She shall come forth with power, victory, just as Elijah came forth out of the wilderness with a word on his tongue, and the power of God in his hand, so she shall come forth with a word on her tongue and the power of God in her hand. And whatever she speaks, it will be done. It will be proclaimed. It shall go forth into the earth, and it shall go forth into the atmosphere, for she will speak with power and glory. She shall speak, and I will act, for this is my bride. This is my beloved. I am calling. Come forth. Come forth out of the wilderness. Your time of birthing is nigh at hand. Your birth pains have gone before you, but now is the time. Come forth. Come forth from the womb of the earth. Come forth from the wilderness. Come forth. You will come out with great power and carry great glory. You will carry great glory because you have carried, and the journey has been long and the journey has been hard. But though you are weak, I say today that you are strong. For I have perfected your strength through every trial and through every opposition, through every onslaught of the enemy. I have given you the strength to come forth. So come forth now. Come forth with a new anointing, with a new fire, and do what you have been called to do in the earth. Come forth with my word on your tongue, for my word will not return void. Look around you. The earth is speaking and the earth is crying out, for my return is nigh at hand. And just as a sudden wind and a sudden rain, so my return is coming upon you suddenly. It will be unexpected for those who are not waiting. Sober and alert, you must be with oil in your lamp, because it will come upon you suddenly. For those who are waiting, they will be in expectation. They will receive, and I will receive them. Look for signs in the heavens and signs in the earth. Things that have never taken place before will begin to take place. Listen, y'all, this is 10 years ago. What are we living in today? Things that have never taken place, are they not taking place? There will be chaos in the earth. Chaos like the world has never seen. Is that not what we're in right now? But in the middle of the chaos, there will be a mighty movement of my army to bring signs and wonders in the earth, unlike the earth has ever experienced before. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and I feel the presence of God. For, note this, for there will be new, and I remember when I wrote this, I capitalized the word N-E-W. It was an emphasis God made. For there will be new people arising in the earth with a voice of victory. The sons of God will arise and take their place, and they will operate and walk as God intended man to be, with dominion and authority. And when they speak like Elijah, it will happen, for my spirit will rest upon them. Now note this. And this is what I want everybody to hear today, because this is the marking of what God is doing in Asbury, and it's gonna spread throughout the world. The latter day end time movement will not be a company of people that have been named and identified. No label that man has put on himself. It will only be a move of the Holy Spirit. That's the last thing God said at 4:30 in the morning, May 2013, and here we are in 2023. Can anyone just tell me this morning that I could just make this up out of my head? There's no way. This is the word of the Lord, and I remember interceding so hard that morning on my knees in my prayer closet. This is what's happening right now. Do you know, last night Tucker Carlson said we were going to take our cameras, we needed to go see what's going on in Kentucky, and we got a call from Asbury College, and they said, listen, we love y'all, but we would ask you not to come, because this is not to be commercialized. This is a move of God, and we really don't want the media here. That comment tells you this is of God, because the majority of people want the media. They want the publicity. They want the attention. They want to be bigger and bigger, but that is not what this is about. And note, this is no big name doing anything. These are college kids worshiping and praying together. God has to move in this generation. I told Grace, get on a plane and go down there. Be a part of this, because you you of all people have been raised in it, Grace. You've been raised in this. And this needs to come to your campus. This needs to come to every campus. This needs to come to every home, that people just start to hunger for God. And what is the theme? It's holiness. Be holy as I am holy is not an option. It's command. It's a command. And you know what God is saying? Be holy means I'm not changing. Holiness is who I am. That's the root of my being. And you've got to be holy if you want to be like me. I'm not changing. You've got to change. I want to read another, again, in the same year, 2 months later. God is going to visit his church in ways that we have never seen before. The scales will fall off of our eyes, and the Holy Spirit is going to put a fire that cannot be quenched. The scales will fall off as we begin to read the Bible, as we begin to worship. The Bible will be a new book. There will be revelation as God reveals his mysteries to the end time church. The remnant of God that are crying out and interceding day and night, God is going to reveal his word, and he is going to speak through his prophets in these end time days. Get ready, because the greatest days are yet to come. Again, this was 2013. Though conditions of the earth will grow dim and dark and gloomy and dangerous, are we not there today? Of course we are. Yet for those who are sealed with the mark of God in their forehead, they will be protected. They will be promoted. They will be covered under the shadow of my wings, for they will be an end time army that will rise up in these days. Note this, and I capitalized this when I typed it out. They will stand for holiness and righteousness, something that we have lost in the church today. They will stand for holiness and righteousness, and the word of God will be sharp, two-edged sword that will come out of their mouth, and what they say will come to pass, for the Holy Spirit will speak through their lips with signs and wonders following. It will happen before the return of the Lord. A great army, a remnant, will rise up from the four corners of the earth. And those, note this army will be small. Yet there is greatness in this army, for these are the ones that have been hidden in the wilderness. They are the ones that have been crying out day and night. They have paid the price of solitude and abandonment, and they will be promoted in the end time days. Their voices will be heard and heralded throughout the world, because they shall say to the people, prepare the way of the Lord. The time of his return is nigh at hand. Wow. And I really, you know, as I'm looking at these words and thinking back on when God spoke these to me, I know, just like you know, that this is a different year. We've been talking about this. This is a different year. This is a different year. God is doing a new thing. And we have to prepare ourselves for what God is going to do. We cannot go back to the way it was. This is a new move. And the move of God is going to be all about holiness. That is who God is, and that is what he requires from us. We will not be able to really walk like he walks, live like he lives, and be who he has called us to be without a move of holiness. And when you think about the headpiece, the golden headpiece of the high priest, this is part of his garment. It was engraved. Note this. It wasn't just something that he stuck on the headpiece, on the headband. It was engraved. Holiness unto the Lord. Note that. Holiness unto the Lord. And if it was engraved, then God is saying something loud and clear to us today. We have to be engraved in holiness. What does that mean? It has to be part of our nature. When the words holiness unto the Lord were engraved into that headpiece, it wasn't engraved in a piece of wood. It was engraved in gold. Gold has to be tried by fire before it's pure. Gold has to have dross come out of it before it's pure. Nobody gets holy just because you get saved. Remember, there are three courts in the tabernacle: outer, holy place, holy of holies. Note what it's called: holy of holies. That is the goal of our Christian journey. The Ark of the Covenant, the holy Ark of God. So what is the Lord saying to us? Without holiness, you're not going to make the cut of an overcomer. You cannot truly know me. This is a transformation, not an exterior, but an interior, because people that think they're holy because they have long hair, a skirt, no makeup, that is not what God's talking about. Holiness is an inner working of the Holy Spirit to make us holy vessels. Blessed be his name. And you can't be holy until you see how wretched your sin is. You know, when God began to do a work in me, I couldn't be holy until I saw how wretched I was, and my sin was an abomination to God. I had to get the sin out, and that's what's happening at Asbury. People are repenting. These kids are getting a revelation of their sin and how evil it is and how dark it is and how they need to get rid of it. That is the beginning of revival. When we start repenting and we have a revelation of how sin is the enemy of God and we want it out of us, that's when things start to change. And once we repent and the blood comes and cleanses us, then we start moving into the direction and we're going towards the Ark of the Covenant and we're getting towards the Holy of Holies. But it's a process. What's happening there is just the beginning. And this is wonderful. It's the beginning. And it's pure. I pray to God it stays pure before man comes and mixes it. We've got to pray that this stays pure and that this move hits every campus in America. We need an awakening, and I feel the Spirit of God this morning. Our young people need an awakening. Satan has done everything he can do to destroy this new generation. So he will have a generation that have no identity. They don't know if they're a man or a woman. They're gender fluid. They do what they want. They have this mindset in which it's all about them. It's a self-centered mindset, and everything about God is self-less-centered. And the Lord is doing something, and I pray that every one of you listening to the sound of my voice, whether it's live or on the replay, you will get a sense of the urgency of this moment, that we've got to continue to push through and pray for this generation, that this will spark an awakening. Instead of wanting to go to the nightclubs and sleeping around and taking selfies, they'll get on their knees and get before the Lord. You know, Sonia was telling me that her daughter Brittany posted a word on Facebook, I haven't read it, about this horrific Grammy presentation and this song called Unholy. If Satan didn't show his card, is that not the devil telling us what he is doing? He's perverting this generation. It's all about being unholy because he fears holiness. He fears holiness because people that walk holy are people that have power. People that walk holy fear God, and they won't be falling into sin every day. People that walk holy have a vision of God. People that walk holy pray. They get in the Word. My dad walked holy. When you met my dad, you stood in front of a true holy man of God. I lived with that man. I was raised with that man. I saw that man's life. His entire life was holy. We can't really say that today. People are not really holy. We are tainted, and we've got to get the world off, all of it off. And I told Grace, I said, you march through this campus. Every day you walk to school. You go back and forth through these buildings. You walk in front of that chapel, and you declare the move of God is coming to this campus. We are going to have to start interceding for this generation. I think a lot of you, you have children, you have grandchildren. We've got to pray. And we've got to pray that what is birthing that is so pure and holy begins to touch the body of Christ in every age. For we need this more than ever. Holiness unto the Lord. And we're going to pray today that what is happening in this little university begins to sweep across the nation. Remember when Elijah prayed, it was the seventh time, and what happened? There was a little small cloud in the shape of a man's hand. That's what we're seeing right now. It's a small cloud in the shape of a man's hand. It's the hand of God. And you know what happened with that small cloud? It brought a tumultuous rain. And it shut down the drought. And that is what we need right now. We need God to rain down on America and up every nation in this world. We need the drought to end. The body of Christ has been in a drought. Our churches have dried up. We are performance driven. We are not bringing the Spirit of God in the midst of our services. The anointing's not flowing. People are walking in and out the same way. And here people are now flying from all these different nations. Why? Because they want the presence. Why do they want the presence? Because they're not getting it in their church. Why isn't every church in America, especially Dallas, the Bible Belt, why aren't we experiencing this? Because I've said this 100 times over. We are programmed. We sing 5 songs, preach 1 message, do 1 prayer, and we're out. We've got to do exactly what they're doing, and that is wait on the Lord. Worship Him without entertainment. Get real and get raw about our sin and get it out. The beginning of a revival is intercession and repentance. And when God begins to move, no devil in hell can stop Him. And this is the initial stage of it. But we cannot let the enemy come in and stop this. We are going to have to plow through, pray through, and continue to intercede that this move of God spreads. So I just want to encourage everyone today, wherever you are, you walk with God. These prophetic words that God gave me, and not just me, He's given to so many of you and so many others all around the world. We've been waiting and waiting, and these words have come. You know, when I read you, they came 10 years ago. God has an exact timing for that word to be fulfilled, and this is the timing. I truly believe it. And we're coming out of the wilderness, and we're coming out leaning on our beloved, and we're going to be stronger than we've ever been before. Those who have been really going through the trials of life, God is preparing right now. Because the Lord needs voices. Voices. True, pure, holy men and women who are not going to be bought out, who are not in it for fame, name, money, who are in it because they were called of God and they only want to please Him. And holiness is the garment we have to wear. And there is no shortcut. There's nothing else. You have to fit the garment. Remember, when God designed the garment for the high priest, it was white linen. And when that garment was stripped from Aaron, it had to fit his son. And when it was stripped from Eleazar, it had to fit his son. It had to keep going down. And nobody altered the garment. The garment of righteousness and holiness cannot be altered. God is who He is, and we have got to fit into the garment. And that means our lifestyle is going to have to be holy. There is no other way. We can't see the Lord. We can't know the Lord without it. Not the way of intimacy. We can see Him from a far distance, like the sons of the prophets saw Elijah leave at a far distance, or we can be like Elisha right there. And that's really what's happening now. So what a phenomenal time we're living in the darkest, darkest days of America. God is starting a move. It's just like Him. and it's an unknown place with a few students. It's just like God. This is how he works. Blessed be his glorious name. And Sonia, I don't know if you're still on this morning, but if you are, if you want to hop on and just add a few thoughts to that, because I know that this is such an important time for all of us to really intercede and get alone with God and pray that this move that is beginning will continue until it sweeps our nation and the world.
Amen. Yeah, I'm on just for a few minutes today, but this so reminds me of the whole story of the Ark. When David took the Ark of the Covenant, that's the holiness, right? He took the Ark of the Covenant, and he was going to take it out. And remember, they put it on an ox cart. They put it on a new cart, and that's in 2 Samuel 4. No, 2 Samuel 6. This is the move that it is. It's a brand new move. He put it on a cart, and he was going to take it, do it the old way, right? He's taking it in a cart. He's taking it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill, it said. And remember, you have the guy Uzzah, who is just standing by it, helping drive it, the Ark of God. But what happens? It stumbles. The oxen stumble, and the Ark looks like it's about to tip. But what does Uzzah do? He touches it, and he dies, right? Uzzah was part of the house of Saul. It was part of the old ways, and Uzzah's name actually means strength. It was a picture of man's strength trying to steady the presence of God. And man's strength can never steady the presence of God, right? And David was offended. I think I might have been offended too. Uzzah died right there. But it's a picture of us trying to control a move of God. And so David, then again, the ark had to go rest at Obed-Edom's house. And Obed-Edom means a revelation of the blood of Christ. He had a revelation of the blood, and he wasn't touching it. Obed-Edom wasn't touching it. Nobody was going to touch this ark now until David took it back out, and he sacrificed continually all the way into Jerusalem. So I just love what God is doing. It is just a pure and holy move, like Sharon said. And yeah, my daughter had that revelation about that unholy, demonic Grammy segment. And it, you know, the enemy is so stupid, he overplays his hand. So what's he trying to do? Is he wants unholiness in there, but God's bringing something so pure and holy. And I was thinking too about even the earthquake that happened in Turkey, that's just so horrendous. There's always going to be signs in the earth when God brings a new move, because, well, I won't go into the whole thing, but anyway, you've got second heaven principalities, and you've got all of that that's pushing down as well. So you're going to have signs and wonders, signs, not necessarily good signs, like earthquakes. And the Bible's full of that. Even when Moses went up on Sinai, there was an earthquake. So there are going to be things like that. And so we just have to keep our hearts right and keep our eyes on the Lord. But we are living in exciting times, and keeping our heart right in the midst of it, and just pressing in to keep that holiness and our eyes on Jesus the whole time. So that's what I want to share. Thanks, Sharon.
Thanks, Sonia. I want to share a verse, and I just want to reiterate, because I didn't share the actual text on this verse on holiness, but it's Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace as well as holiness, for without no one will see God. It doesn't get more black and white than that. Follow peace and holiness, without which no man, no person will see God. So holiness brings us into a revelation of the Lord. Revelation 4:8, we read, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." The whole earth is filled with his glory, isn't it? I mean, if you think about what the angels are saying around the throne, what the saints are saying around the throne, it's holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God Almighty. Why three holy? For Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. The glory cannot come without the holy. And that is the call. That is the call for us all today, that we will be holy people. You know, holiness means really to be set apart. If you are holy, you are set apart. You are blameless before God. We think about being perfect, and in your mind, nobody is perfect. But what does perfection mean? Perfection is linked with holiness. It's a maturity. It's a set, being set apart. It's blameless before God. And that is what God has called us to be. It's the high calling. And I just want to really challenge everyone today, and really for all of us to look at our own walk with God. And what is it that's not holy? Where are we missing the mark? You know, sin means to miss the mark. But the Lord wants us to hit the mark. And we have a holy God who requires a holy people. And we're going to have to look inward and deal with the areas that are not holy, so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to do a deeper work in all of us and come to the place. Like Isaiah, when he had a revelation of his sin, his own life, and he said, woe is me, I am undone. We need to say that for our own lives. Lord, I'm undone, and I need you, and I'm going to ask you to deliver me and set me free from every hold of sin, everything, small or large. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. I want to be righteous. And as we seek his face, we will encounter God. It's the pure in heart that will see God. And without holiness, you can't see him either. So purity and holiness go together. It goes back to that teaching of the tabernacle. It's purity and holiness. That is what God is saying to us today. Blessed be his glorious name. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. We know that without you, we can do nothing. We can do absolutely nothing, and we need you, Lord. Lord, we just cry out today that there will be a move of holiness that will sweep America and sweep the world, that people will turn away from sin and run to you, that people will be tired of living in bondage to sin and the devil, and they will run to the cross, repent, and get right with you. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. In the midst of all that has happened in this great falling away, oh Lord, bring your church back to you. Raise up new voices and new faces like you're doing right now all around the world that do not care about any name and fame. They care about lifting up one name, and that is the name of Jesus. We thank you right now that you give every one of us a fresh impartation, a fresh infilling. Quicken us again. Quicken us to pray. Quicken us to read your word. Bring the hunger. What we're seeing in Asbury is a hunger, a hunger, a hunger to know you, a hunger to be in your presence, where we will lay aside everything, all of our agendas, all of our reservations, the things that we want to do. Lay aside all of our plans, and we will make you our priority. Oh, Lord, we need a move again in America. We are desperate for you. Sin has infiltrated this nation like none other, and we need the holiness, the purity, the righteousness. We need something to birth in all of us that will bring us to a place of complete consecration and complete surrender. Search us, O Lord. Look in the areas in our lives that aren't pleasing, the hidden places. and begin to apply your fire and burn out the dross so we can be pure gold engraved with the words, holiness unto the Lord. Fill us with a fresh infilling today. Breath of God, Ruach, breathe. Breathe upon us again. Breathe new life. An awakening. Bring us again to the place of being so aware of your presence. Wake up our spirit man that's been asleep. And bring us into life. Life on a different plane of living. We trust in you and we praise you. We thank you for this beautiful move that's stirring right now. Oh, Lord, let the flames get hotter. Let the fire begin to expand and sweep across our land so that multitudes of lives will not just be touched, but will be transformed and will never go back to the way they were again. We give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. As we're wrapping up today, I'm going to conclude the recording. Those of you that are on this call live, please stay, hold on, and we will be able to share together. If you have a testimony you want to share, a word from the Lord, we always open up the lines on Friday morning. But for everyone else, we're going to close the recording out. I want to remind you all of our upcoming Passover Good Friday service, April 7th in Dallas. Please make every effort to come. I truly believe by the time we get to April, this move of God is going to continue, and I am in great expectation for this year's Good Friday service. Again, it's the year of Jubilee. This is going to be unlike any other, and if you've never attended a gathering, I really encourage you to come. It's going to be a powerful evening. I am expecting and believing a move from God. I will be praying and fasting way before the week of, because I truly believe this will be an unprecedented service, and I'm asking the Lord to do something that he's not done before in any of our services. So make sure you come. All the information is on our website at SharonBoland.com. The Lord bless you. Thanks for being with us today, everyone. And those of you that are live, just hold on just a moment. Everyone else, we'll see you again on Monday.